Hi DMC, welcome to online church, especially those who are visitors. First time here joining us online, we'd like to warmly welcome you. And this is the second of these two sermon series on the church gathered and scattered. The early church was birthed in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost with about 500 or more disciples. And by the end of Acts chapter 2, 3,000 new believers were added to their gathering. And by Acts chapter 4, about 2 years later, there were already 5,000 men, not counting women and children, which can double or triple that number. And by Acts chapter 8, about 4 years after Pentecost, the church was persecuted and scattered. And Acts chapter 8 verse 1 says, "On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria." And then another passage, Acts chapter 8, verse 4, "And those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went." The scattering was for the preaching of the gospel and the extension of God's kingdom. Well, it is normal for us to gather and after a while becomes comfortable and inward looking. You know, and if the church have not been renewed and revived with the constant emphasis of the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations, you know, God will often scatter the church through persecutions, hardships, and even pandemics. And this is a normal pattern in church history. Therefore, you know what? Not all difficulties are necessarily bad and can even be allowed by God for His greater purpose, for the gospel to be preached to the ends of the earth, and then He will come again. And last weekend, Pastor Kevin shared with you about the founding, gathering, and scattering of the church. And he reminded us that the agent of change is the Holy Spirit. Remember his big idea? Impact is a call to go, and it starts where we are. And he said, while we may be restricted in not being able to go out in a big way, there's nothing to stop us to reach out in our Jerusalem, our home ground and backyard. In fact, the Church of Jesus Christ needs a big shaking to see the needs around us. And we keep hearing this phrase, "The world will never be the same again." What is the prophetic voice of God in this pandemic? You know, so much has been written and talked about. But what is it for you and me? What is it for us as a church, our career, our ministry, our life? What's the next step? Well, today I will share about the two major shifts for the church. You know, and here's a photo in the Star newspaper, and the headline says, "Nature Heals Itself." The report said, "A pitch black river in the heart of Georgetown turns jade green while people stay at home." As pollution levels drop sharply due to the movement control, rivers nationwide are reviving without human interference. You know, it's a prophetic proclamation that there must be much self-correction and realignment of ourselves. And even nature, because of the way we use Earth's resources, is unsustainable. Well, let's look at a rather familiar passage about the people of God moving into the promised land after 40 years of wandering. It was something I preached about just as we arrived at our 40th anniversary of DUMC. You know, why don't we stand right now and hold up our Bible like I always do when I preach. So go take your Bible, whether it's a hard copy Bible or soft copy Bible. Why don't we all stand up and then hold up our Bible, and you know what I normally would get everyone to recite together with me. Are you ready? Just hold up your Bible and ready? One, two, go. "This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It informs my mind, inspires my heart, and instruct my behavior, so help me God." So Holy Spirit, we ask right now, even as we read your word, you will come, Lord, and instruct our mind and allow us, God, to know your word in a deeper way. So as we declare your word right now, Lord, may your spirit do a deep work in each of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And so let's read aloud the word of God together, and it will be projected on the screen. Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 to 5 in crossing the Jordan. Ready? 1, 2, go. "Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. And after 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the Ark, and do not go near it. And Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Please take a seat. There are three movements here. Moved out from your positions, you will know which way to go. And then the third one is keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. So three movements. And the first movement is move out. You are to move out from your positions and follow it. The Israelites have been moving around in circles now for 40 years. You see, we are not meant to live or move around in circles like this, not getting anywhere. Maybe that's a reflection of some of us right now in our lives. I tell you what, the scary part is this. We are comfortable to move around in circles, like a dog chasing its tail, and we want to stay that way, whether it is spiritually, relationally, or in our ministry, or even career. You know, there is no holy discontent. There's no desire to move out of the circle. In which case then, you know, God will shake us. He reminded us at last sermon of 2019 to come out of our comfort zone and embracing a different and new spirit. And I hope you remember that. You know, I wasn't aware of the magnitude of this. In many sense, God has been preparing us as we approach our 40th anniversary to reinvent ourselves for the next season. Well, we just didn't know He's going to do it this way. And, you know, He is challenging us again, more than what we have been doing so far, to go beyond the four walls of the church. And He reminded us to sow generously, for we will eventually reap bountifully. Don't miss out. And I hope you remember that sermon too. He's challenging us whether we will live our life differently after this. And He's challenging us to, in spite of all the restrictions, to go and make disciples of all nations. And how do we do that? What are the fundamental principles? And the second movement from move out is move to. Verse 4 says, then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. And so here's our big idea for today. Never been this way before. Let me repeat that. Never been this way before. He's challenging us to have a dream so big that unless God is there, we are bound to fail. You know, and then in our studies of Jonah, when God says go, don't say no. You know, and then I talked about chasing the lion. To think of something you have never tried, do something you have never done, and go somewhere you have never been. You know, for some of us, going to a Zoom meeting or meetings, you know, is our lion. My lion is how do we do online church and preach like now to a camera? How do we do church in MCO? And this is another season, if you remember this, to step up, step out, step in, and step forward. There are so many prophetic, you know, words that God has spoken into our lives in the last many years. And the third movement is to move ahead, but not ahead of God. So verse 4 says, keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark, and do not go near it. You see, the ark is about 900 meters ahead. In the Old Testament, no one is supposed to touch the ark except for special priests, because if you do, you die. It signified that unholy people cannot go near a holy God. Just follow the ark. Don't go near it. Go where it's heading, meaning follow the presence of God. Don't go your way. No, we really thank God that we live in the new covenant today. We're able to go into the presence of God with freedom because we are saved by the blood of Jesus. We do not need the ark today because the presence of God through the Holy Spirit is upon the body of believers called the church. So we are reminded that God's presence go with us, and this is our 2020 theme. We are to keep in step with the Spirit. So don't go ahead of the Holy Spirit. We are involved. No, we involve the Holy Spirit every day. Remember, I've taught everyone in the morning when you wake up to say, "Good morning, Holy Spirit." And I hope we all are doing this every day. God is going to use the entire body of Christ to be the agent of the gospel for the world, where every member, you and I, every person of the body plays an important part. Now, just in case you think God cannot use you, I'm reminding you that God chooses unimpressive people to serve Him. Let me prove it to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 28 to 29, it says that God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things, and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. And so here is a verse that reminds us that God will use even very unimpressive people like you, like myself as well. And so can I say lovingly that there are no supermen or superwomen in the body of Christ. There are no super apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors. You see, their roles are to equip the body of Christ to do the work of ministries. And the power of the church today is each one, every one of you doing its part as the Holy Spirit directs him or her to serve wherever, you know, they are. Far too often, you know what, our main source of learning comes from other people. We run from conference to conference, sermon to sermon, workshop to workshop, and book to book. Not wrong, but we tend to do that, hearing from other people what they heard from God. If our spiritual diet is based on that, we missed out on the greatest gift of a personal teacher and tutor, who is the Holy Spirit. In the quietness of our devotional time with Him, with His Bible, we can learn directly from Him by feeding ourselves rather than have others feed us. So make time to read His words and ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand. You know, we are encountering this phrase due to social distancing, the new normal. A favorite phrase used everywhere now. In some sense, it is a scattering of the church through digital means. That's our new normal as well. This is a season of reflection, recalibration, reinvention. And I like that word reinvention. It simply means that it is not to invent something that is already existing, but to remake, to revive, and to repurpose. You see, the reality is that we cannot do church the way we are used to in the next 12 to 24 months, or until a vaccine for COVID-19 is found. Even after that, I believe everything will change. So let's be reminded about the big idea again. Never been this way before. And so we are entering a new season. So what have we discerned so far? And as I sense from the Holy Spirit, let me propose to you two major shifts for the church. And within each major shift are four minor ones with a total of eight. And I only have time to briefly run through each of them, but I hope you will get the overall idea. The first major shift is this: a shift from physical to digital presence in the church. This is an obvious shift which has major implication. Well, we are not saying that there will be no more physical church, but it is now done with the inclusion of a digital platform. The digital revolution was already here before MCO, just that the awareness is heightened during this pandemic. And we should look forward to the 5G technology, which unfortunately is sort of stuck because of the political war between US and China. You know, 5G is 100 times faster than our current 4G. There will be no lag time in broadcast and Zoom, you know, and almost everything will be mobile. So what is the implication of 5G to the church? You know, one of the things I was concerned about was our seniors in our midst. But Pastor Key assured me that the senior members of his zone are full on, he said, even knowing how to use Zoom breakout rooms. I'm impressed. You know, I want to commend our senior folks for adapting and learning fast. So well done. But MCO creates other problems of isolation, mental health, relational tensions, physical abuses, and addictions. We have probably read something about that as well. But let's be on the watch out for one another too. And this creates an amazing opportunity to reach out to our friends. So let me, within this major shift, let me share the four minor shifts within it, in this shift from physical to digital presence. The first shift is in doing end-to-end congregational worship, meaning how do we do the entire celebration from start to end, like right now. It was very unnerving replicating our physical celebration from a virtual on a virtual platform, but I thank God that we were able to pull it off much better than many churches, because tell you why, we have been live streaming for about 7 years now. So it still feels really strange speaking to a camera rather than directly to you. You know, I also asked a question, you know, how do we welcome and follow up new visitors and new believers? How do we do tithe and offering? How do we do worship, ministry time, praying for people? But one thing I must say is that I'm really glad to report to you that our monthly church giving has not suffered. Interestingly, meaning for the month of April, when we are fully online, our giving on that month was actually more than when we were meeting physically in the month of January or February. This means almost all our members have adapted to online giving, and that is really, really good. It also allows us an amazing platform to reach out to a special group of people in our nation, and you know what I mean. Even before this, 5 years ago, I had someone from this special group called me and said, "You don't know me, but you are my pastor. I can't come to church, so I live stream every Sunday and I dress up in my room and go to church. And you know what, pastor? The best thing is that in my room, as I go to church, I can have a cup of coffee." Isn't that amazing? And post MCO, we will be even more intentional in engaging with our online congregation, with online pastors and ministry team members praying for people who are watching this online. And you know, I have another story. We have people tuning in now from different parts of the world. The average screen views for all our six congregations is about 8,000 to 9,000 thereabout. If you're translating that into actual people watching the screens, it can translate up to maybe even up to 15,000 people or more behind the screens. And there are, so far, there are something like 380 people indicating that they have made some form of decisions for rededication or to follow Christ. And so this is quite an amazing thing that as we look forward now to what God is doing, it is possible. Interesting to know that in our Myanmar church, for example, they have an average screen views of 4,000, meaning that there's something like 8,000 to 10,000 people watching this on the screen. They are drawing new people from their diaspora from around the world, even their home country. This is certainly a new way of doing church and mission. In fact, they have already gained more than 50 over members joining their cell group online meetings from overseas. And I was talking to Pastor Sarah. I say, it looks like you have to maintain these online CGs even after MCO. So that's the first shift. The second shift is in equipping, and in other words, training. Post MCO, we will see a new way of equipping with a combination of online and physical class training as people are adapting now to a new platform of learning. The advantage in a busy city like KL and PJ, where traveling across town is a challenge, especially after office hours, we may not need to be physically present all the time. It saves us time and hopefully increase learning. You know what? We are even attempting now to do spiritual retreats. So I'm interested to know how that goes. And the third shift is how we do cell groups. You know, our cell meeting has been taken to a whole new level. We are able to do almost anything now, even to eat together virtually over supper. And this is something like the ninth time we are Zooming our cell meeting. You know, MCO has not stopped us from being a cell group. From last week's sales statistics, for example, we had at least 110 new visitors joining our English cell groups. So that's a rather interesting phenomena that people would be willing, new people would be willing to join a cell group meeting online. So can I make an appeal here to everyone watching this? You see, the life of DUMC is not about how many screen views we have on the online church celebration, but whether, now listen to this carefully, but whether our members are attending cell groups weekly, because this is the only way we know they are connected to the church. Hence, accurate cell attendance record is very, very important to me. And if you are still not in a cell group, can I urge you to join one as soon as possible? And here's, you know, a graph to show you our cell group online attendance. And I watch this graph very, very carefully because it shows to me, you know, whether our people are actually connecting to one another. And so please join a cell group if you're not in one. So due to the pandemic and the health guidelines, we may need to actually meet in really small groups in the next 6 to 24 months until a vaccine is found, which means we may need to recalibrate and reinvent the purpose of our cell groups. We will probably need to meet in cell groups for our online celebrations. You know, we don't have to meet, you know, alone like this watching the screen, but maybe we can now come together in a few months' time, come together in a cell group and watch. Could we be watching this online and have a church celebration together, especially when we are no longer allowed to have big gatherings until this vaccine is found. And so that's a possible scenario. Other questions like, how would we do evangelism? How do we connect digitally and make it more effective? You know, I have a discipleship group that have been meeting weekly since MCO started. There are six of us all together, and we have found it to be equally engaging. Sure, we miss a face-to-face meeting, but we thank God we can still meet. And we study scriptures together, reciting memory verses together, praying and keeping each other accountable in our lives. And it works. And the fourth shift is about new ways of having church meetings. You know, we have our Saturday prayer altar, which I hope more of you can join. About 150 of us are already attending this faithfully every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. So come for a very unusual experience of praying together online. And other meetings like our staff devotions, our eldership meeting, our senior pastor's office, SPO meeting, pastor's meeting, operations meeting, you know, are all done virtually now. You know, I have even brought in our missionaries online from overseas to our meetings, especially, you know, our staff devotion and our leaders meeting. And, you know, we have a chance now to even hear what they're doing overseas and engaging with them as well. And then as we were doing this, and in my mind, I was thinking, why didn't I think of that earlier, of bringing in our missionaries, you know, on a regular basis? So there are four minor shifts in a major shift of physical to a digital presence of celebration, cell group, equipping, and a meeting. And the second major shift is this, a shift in less of and more of as a church. Now, what do I mean by that? Let me explain. The fifth shift is about needing less for self and more for the marginalized. It has forced us to evaluate our lifestyle that we do not really need a lot in life. Maybe there's no one to impress at home. There's no need to accumulate to impress anybody. On the other hand, when we open our eyes to see the invisible society in our midst, the urban poor, the B40 group, the refugees, the asylum seekers, and migrant workers, they have very different struggles. Their struggle, you know, is putting food on the table and a roof over their head, which many of us have taken for granted in our own lives. We need to uplift the financial plight of the poor through economic empowerment, like job creation, through social enterprising, and even our corporate network. How do we have that economic empowerment? You know, Pastor Kelvin mentioned that MCO stands for Missional Communities Outreach. And basically, he's reminding us, this is our backyard. May our eyes be wide open after this to our communities around us. And many of us will step up to do something we have never done before. And listen to me carefully here. When we talk about UMC's Impact 2020, Impact 2020 is therefore not a series of events that we're embarking on as a checklist to tick off. Impact 2020 is a lifestyle. Let me repeat. It is not a series of events that we participate or go to, but a lifestyle. I'm excited that our Impact 2020 is rebranded now as Impact Now. We must be learning to live simply so that others may simply live. And the sixth shift is about needing less focus on numbers and more on engagement. It is forcing us not to think of programs to attract a large crowd because we don't have the luxury of a big stage, lightings, and sound. It is helping us to think about engagement more intentionally and meaningfully through our relationships with one another and our friends. And the most powerful strategy of evangelism is not big evangelistic meetings, but individual members like you and I sharing our lives and the gospel, influencing our friends one by one. And this MCO has drawn the team together in church to consider the whole engagement process of follow-up of new believers and new people and realize, you know, how much flaws we had in this process before this. I'm pleased with the outcome so far as they come to the final implementation of this process from inquiry to assimilation to cell groups. And the seventh shift is about needing less time wasters and more on efficacy. And there is a difference between efficiency, effectiveness, and efficacy. Efficacy simply means right place and the right time and requires wisdom for that. And so because MCO has helped us bring everything that we do physically to a digital platform, it has also brought to us question why we do what we do. Can things be done more efficiently and effectively? Are there things that are not necessary that we can do without, maybe? Now, with things that we are comfortable with or used to, do we really need them? For example, do we need to print materials and cut down more trees like our weekly celebration bulletin? Maybe all of us now can go online and get our online bulletin, our sermon notes. We don't need to print them anymore. Or have we now adjusted to even doing different things in a different way? Do we need to pass the offering bags around now? Because giving is a matter of the posture of the heart, and we do not need an offering bag to have people give, right? Maybe we can just encourage people to give online and have a box for people to drop their offering if they need to and can't go online. Just voluntarily, people can just drop it off in a box left at the back of the auditorium. And so that is one of those things that we need to consider. And finally, the eighth shift is about needing less conversations on buildings, institutions, and more on relationships, communities. It has forced us to prioritize and ask the hard questions. What is most core or fundamental about the mission of the church? If everything is stripped away, are we still obeying the Great Commandment and the Great Commission? Are we still doing missions and reaching out to our communities? Are we making an impact in the marketplace, even when we can't meet together like this as a big church, with all the facilities? Are we still fulfilling what is basic and fundamental? And this is encapsulated in our tagline. And this is basic, this is fundamental. Love God, serve people, and make disciples. As an example, we have just reviewed our budget in church because of this pandemic, asking ourselves what is absolutely necessary in view of what's going on, especially the economic downturn, where we want to direct some of our funds towards helping the poor and needy. You know what? We have shaved off about 17% of our budget so that we can redirect these funds to the needy outside. In fact, the church staff have all taken a pay freeze, which was due in March, in solidarity with the current economic downturn. So I really appreciate the staff for doing that. It helped us accelerate the multi-site strategy to make the church smaller, more flexible and mobile. And now I know why there's an urgency in my spirit to embark on multi-site 3 years ago. And I knew that was the Lord's leading now. And this is where I'm thankful for being a cell church. We are connected by small groups. You know, we can grow as big as God allows us to, but remain small at all times. Maybe our theme for 2021 could be something like this: growing smaller to be deeper and wider. You see, it's not just about numbers, but in heart, spirit, and compassion. And I love these three phrases that I learned some time ago. And these three phrases are: small is big, less is more, and slow is fast. And it needs wisdom to really understand what this means, and then help us to be a church that will be relevant for the community around us. And I hope we will not waste this MCO and pandemic as God recalibrates us. I pray that the greater shift will be this overarching shift that sums up the two major shifts. And it is this shift here, a shift from superficial faith to an authentic faith. And this MCO and pandemic will reveal something about yourself, what you have or what you don't have. And I've said much about this during my nightly devotions. It will reveal the worst of us or the best of us. And let's be humble to allow God to change us. I have left a series of questions, you know, on the sermon notes for you to ponder and journal. You can actually download this from the menu on your screen or our website. And finally, Joshua chapter 3 verse 5 says, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." So the question to ask is, will you rededicate your life to God as you look with excitement and hope what is ahead of us? We look forward to our future glory, but while we are here on this earth here, God has given us unimaginable opportunities compared maybe even to a year ago. So let's consecrate ourselves that God may use us in a fresh new way. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to us, God, today? Even as you have reminded us that as we enter into the 41st year of the UMC, as we celebrate the 40th, Lord, we want to know where you are leading us. We thank you that, God, your presence is with us here in the body of Christ, that we do not need to go ahead, God, because you will always be with us and you will go ahead of us often to lead us and to prepare a way for us. And the only thing that you need us right now, Lord, is to have a heart of obedience. And so we pray, God, that as you speak to different one of us in this message, you know the condition of our hearts. You know where we are at today. And so I pray for my brothers and my sisters here today that, Lord, you will stir their heart, God. Put a hope, put an excitement in each and every one of us. That when we begin to see how, God, you will work, we do not want to miss out. And so I just sense right now, even as you listen to this message, listen to what God is saying in your life. Maybe some of us here, we know that we need to just rededicate like what God told the people through Joshua, to consecrate yourself. And if that's you, that you have been a Christian, maybe you have been going around in circles, maybe you know you have not been really moving in the way God will want you to. Or maybe even we have done well in our walk with God. But whatever it is, I believe a call for today, for DUMC, is this: consecrate yourself. Consecrate yourself simply means that we set ourselves apart for the work of God. We set ourselves apart to obedience to where God will be leading us. And God will open up unimaginable opportunities for us whether it's, you know, in the community that we live in, whether it's in our workplaces, or whether it is in our schools, our universities, wherever that we are, when we consecrate ourselves to Him, God will open up new ways for us. And some of us may feel that we are stuck. You know, maybe our business is stuck. Maybe we are concerned about, you know, the economic downturn. But I pray that today you will consecrate yourself and recognize that this God is far bigger than everything that we are going through even right now. And so if you sense right now in your spirit that you do want to just consecrate yourself to God where you are, just raise your hands up, because the Lord sees your hand. And say, Holy Spirit, you see my hands, God. You see this hand stretch out to you to say that, God, I need you and I desperately need you. Will you come, God? Will you come, listen to the prayer of my heart and move in a powerful way through me? I surrender to you, God, all my concerns, all my anxieties, whether it's about myself or somebody else, about the things that I do, even my businesses, God. Father, as I consecrate myself, I yield these things, I surrender these things to you, Lord. Will you take it from my hand? Because I do not want to hold these things tightly, but to hold it, Lord, with an open palm, that you may take over as I consecrate myself. And so whatever needs that you have right now, it could be a physical healing that you need. It could be that you need God to touch you in one specific area of your lives. Surrender that to the Lord right now with open palms to Him. Lift it up to Him. Do it, you know, prophetically and say, God, I want to see a breakthrough, God, in my life, in this area of my life. So Holy Spirit, will you come and fill every person whose hands are lifted up to you, God. Fill them, Lord, so that they recognize the presence of God in their lives. And so, Lord, seal that into each of us, that we may experience you in a greater way. Just as you have, you are shifting, Lord, the church in these two major shifts, God, will you do that personally for us, to shift us right now, God, to a better place. And I pray all this, God, and we pray all this in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. And if you have said that prayer and you want further prayers, you know, you can always go to our live prayer and click on that, and someone, you know, will come to you and just pray with you. But before, you know, I go, I want to speak to those who may not be Christians here. You know, you've been invited to come and join us online. You know, I have a special heart for those, you know, who do not know Jesus yet, because I make the decision many, many years ago as a 17-year-old, and I never looked back. You know, that was the best decision that I ever made in my life, because God began to direct me in my life. I have no regrets doing that. And God has become amazing, amazing, not just being a God of my Lord, but an amazing friend. And I pray that you too will come to that point in your life where you will surrender your life to God. Now, how do you do that? Before I go, I just want to quickly, you know, share this briefly with you. How do you, you know, give your life to the Lord Jesus? I know there are many of you may have concerns in your heart, especially in this pandemic. Maybe there's a loss of hope. Maybe there is many things that really, you know, cause concern in your life. You know, the best thing is surrender it to Jesus, because Jesus knows the way ahead. Jesus knows the future. So how do you accept this Jesus into your life? And I've often, you know, shared this very briefly to everyone whom I share. There are three things that you need to do or to say. You basically say, you know, sorry, and you say thank you, and then you say please. Now, what do I mean by that? It's just a simple prayer that you can make to pray to Jesus. You say sorry. Sorry, why? Because you have been running your own life. Maybe you are taking charge of your life without God. Sorry for the things you have done. All you need to do is say, Jesus, I'm sorry for these things that I have done. I'm sorry that I run my life independently from you, from God. And so you say, sorry. And the second thing you say is, thank you. Say thank you to Jesus for dying on the cross for you. On that cross, because He died for you, your sins are forgiven. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. There's nothing you can do to gain forgiveness from God. It is what God has done for you through Jesus. So say thank you to Jesus. And the third thing that you need to say is that now this free gift is given to you. You just need to say please. Please, Jesus, you know, I accept this offer of forgiveness. Please come into my life. And this is just a decision you are making as a starting point for your life. And then we'll begin that journey of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to know that this is a starting point. Start somewhere. And when you make that journey with God, He will begin to reveal more and more of that in your life. So if you're ready to say that prayer, I'm going to lead you in this prayer. So as I pray, you will pray this, you know, quietly in your heart. If you mean what you say, God will hear your prayer and will answer your prayer. So if you want to do that right now, if you're not a Christian, maybe you want to rededicate your life back to God, you know, you can do that as well. So why don't you bow your heads right now and say this prayer and repeat this prayer in your heart after me. Dear Lord Jesus, all right, repeat in your heart together with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the sins in my life. I'm sorry that I have been running my own life apart from you. I'm sorry for the things that I have done which I'm not proud of. Please forgive me. And thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. Nothing that I can do to save myself, but you died on the cross so that I can be forgiven and be saved and be made righteous before God. I accept the gift of forgiveness. And please, right now, come into my life. Send your Holy Spirit into my life and make me a new person in Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your love for me. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you have said that prayer, you know, and if your family members is around you, you may just want to quickly share with them and say, hey, I make that prayer. You know, I make that prayer to accept, you know, Jesus. So can you tell me something more about what does it mean for me, you know, to be following Jesus? And some of you may want to engage with somebody. Now, what you need to do is go to your screen right now, come out of the full screen, go to the screen and click that button called Raise Hands. And once you click that, you know, we just want to get a quick information from you. And then there's another button that you can click so that you can actually connect with someone who can help you along in this journey of faith. And for the rest of us who needs prayer, again, you know, every weekend, at the end of this online celebration, if you need prayer, just click on that button called Live Prayer and someone will come to you and pray with you. And for you also to share some of the issues in your own life. And maybe, you know, with that prayer, God may grant you peace in your heart. So thank you again for joining us online. I'm really encouraged to see many of you, in spite of all that is happening in our nation and nations of the world. But yet, you continue to stay faithful in God. And many of you are also reaching out to a lot of people around you as well. So thank you very much and well done. And let me pray a prayer of benediction before we go. And so lift your hands to the Lord right now. Lift up your hands to the Lord and I will pronounce a benediction over DUMC. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turned His face toward you and give you peace. Amen. So God bless you.